We're beginning our series on Navi. Our goal is to cover ground swiftly. Our goal is also to get a picture of the map of Israel. So every week we'll try to begin with the map and learn how to draw the map of Israel. So when we draw a map of Israel, we begin by drawing on the eastern side. We have the Kinneret, streaming down from that the Yarden, yes, and then over here we have the Yam HaMelach. On our western side, on the left side, we have the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean. When we take the northern tip of the Yam HaMelach and we go a third of the way into Israeli territory, we have Yerushalayim. So those are our markers when we begin drawing a map of Israel. Kinneret, Yarden, Yam HaMelach, Yam HaGadol, and Yerushalayim. We begin. We discussed last week the Jewish people had over 6,600,000 prophets. And the prophecies that were recorded because they have an eternal message. When Moshe Rabbeinu is about to pass on from the world in the final 36 days of his life, he records the final book of Torah, the book of Devarim. And he calls his student Yehoshua bin Nun, who is not so young, and he appoints him as the next leader of the Jewish people. He places both hands upon him. And in front of all of Israel, Yehoshua asks the Kohen Gadol, Elazar, to ask questions on his behalf of Hashem. And everyone sees that Yehoshua is obviously the designated leader by Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, it is the seventh day of the month of Adar. And after Moshe's passing, the Jewish people will spend 30 days mourning his passing. When they get up from those 30 days of mourning, they try to review the Torah Moshe taught them, and they discover that they've forgotten 3,000 halachot, 3,000 laws. They turn to Yehoshua. Yehoshua turns to Hashem. He says, I don't know. I know the whole Torah, but these 3,000 I can't remember. I lost them in these 30 days of mourning. So they turn to Hashem and say, Ribbono Shel, can you please tell us? And Hashem says, nope. And that's how the book of Yehoshua begins. Hashem tells Yehoshua, after Moshe died, Moshe, my servant, is dead. Moshe could ask me and I teach him Torah. That's it. After Moshe, there's no more Torah coming from heaven. You got to figure it out. Work with the laws of logic. Work with the laws of derivation. There's no more asking God. Hashem says, I've given any Torah I had to give, I've given. There's no more asking heaven what the answer should be. And so Yehoshua is stuck. There's a man named Kalev ben Yefuneh. He was Yehoshua's partner when they entered the land of Israel as the 12 spies, as members of the 12 spies. And Kalev says, whoever can conquer, whoever can figure out the answer to those 3,000 halachot will be given the hand of my daughter Achsa and given territory of the land that I own. And the great Talmid Chacham Otniel ben Kenaz, who is Kalev's stepbrother, meaning when Kalev's father passed away, so Kalev's mother remarried. She married a man named Kenaz, and Kenaz has a child named Otniel. So their parents got married, right? So he figures out all the lost halachot, and he marries Kalev's daughter Achsa. Yehoshua is told, "Be strong." Yehoshua has to be strengthened because he's coming after Moshe. How's anyone going to look up to him after Moshe? And the people really don't value Yehoshua like they did Moshe. And Yehoshua has seemingly proved inept. When the spies were sent, Yehoshua was appointed leader of the spies, and they were able to usurp him and change the plan. And so now when Yehoshua is being appointed leader of all the Jewish people, the people tell him, be strong, we need a strong leader. And if anyone tries to say against you, we will kill him. The people are teaching us the laws of a king, that so long as he goes within the confines of the Torah, then those who transgress his words deserve the death penalty. And so Hashem tells Yehoshua, be strong. The Jewish people tell him, be strong. And Hashem tells him, just live up to your responsibility. don't leave the Torah day or night. You should always be learning Torah. From here we learn the mitzvah to learn Torah day and night. And so Yoshua tells the policemen, prepare the people to prepare their food. We're headed to crossing the Jordan. What Yeshua does not tell the people is that in the middle of the morning, he has sent out two spies. He sends out Pinchas, the Kohen, and he sends out Pinchas and Kalev again. And he sends them to find out what's going on in Israel. So the two people come in as though they're selling pottery. They make believe they're deaf. And they're going through the land. And they reach the city of Jericho. Now Jericho is the border city whose job it was to protect the straits, the passageways into Israel. Jericho is not far from the Jordan, and the way you would naturally enter Israel is by crossing the Jordan opposite Jericho. And that's why the Jordan is actually called Yarden Yerecho, the Jordan of Jericho. So they come to Jericho. Jericho has a wall that's as wide as it is tall. It's a very tall wall and a very wide wall. And within that wall, people have houses. One of the people that has a house in that wall is a woman who was so beautiful, it says that anyone who saw her and then would say her name, would just remember what she looked like, would right away spill their seed. That's how beautiful she was. You just thought of her and you lost it. So this woman was considered the high class woman of ill repute. Kings from all over would come to visit her. What do they call that in modern English? A mistress, I guess they call that. So she was a mistress to many, many leaders. The leaders would come to her. Now, this lady, from the time she was a youngster, that was her job. That's how she made money. So these spies, they go into her house. Well, that's a place where people can come in unannounced and uninvited. And when they come in, so she understands that they are spies. Well, people understood that they were spies as well, in spite of all their acts of selling pottery and being deaf. So the king of Jericho, who's her buddy, sends his men, and his men say, you know, the two people who came now, they're not regular customers. They came here to spy out the land. So the woman hears knocking on the door, and she takes the two men, and she takes them to her roof, and over there she has branches that are laying out to dry. She hides them under the branches, and she goes down and opens the door. So the king's men are there. So the men say, give us the people who just came to your house. They're here to spy out the land. And she says, you guys are right. Men came here. I don't know where they're from. You know, in my line of business, we don't ask too many questions. And it was getting nighttime. The gate was about to close. And they fled. I don't know where they went, but if you chase after them quickly, I'm sure you could catch them, because they didn't leave that long ago. So they right away charge out of her house, and they start chasing all the way to the Jordan, and they lock the gates behind them. And they're running, and they're running all the way to the straits, to the crossings of the Jordan. Remember that Jericho's job is to protect the Jordan. The Medrash says there are three keys to conquering the land of Israel. The first one is Jericho. We understand this both in a literal sense, that Jericho was the city who was tasked with protecting Israel on the eastern border, and also on the spiritual sense, that Jericho represents one of the keys to holding on to Israel. He who has control of Jericho has gotten one of the keys to the land of Israel. So she goes up to the rooftop, and she tells them, I know that Hashem has given you the land. I know everyone's scared of you. We've all heard how Hashem dried out the Yam Suf and took you out of Egypt. We know how these two kings on our eastern border, the kings of Emori, you wiped them out. Sihon and Og were the giants. We used to pay them protection money. We counted on them to protect us. And when we heard all this, our hearts melted. And ever since then, my business has been flat. Because now that you guys have come here, all the men have lost all their male prowess. That's it. No one's visiting me anymore. They don't have strength to do anything. They can't produce. They're finished. Everyone's scared stiff. I'm telling you, I know what's going on behind closed doors. All the kings around there, everyone's wiped. Everyone's confident that you're going to win. Everyone's hearts have melted. Everyone knows that Hashem is the real God who controls heaven and earth. But promise me, I saved your lives. I was kind to you. So you do kindness with me and my family. Give me a sign that you'll leave us alive. So the men say, if you don't reveal our secret, if you don't give away our deal, so we take responsibility and we swear by our life that when we conquer the land, we will be kind to you. We'll take care of you. You leave, you have a red rope coming out of your house, leave that there so we know which is your house. And so long as it's only your family members here, it's our responsibility that whoever's in the house with you will be safe. But if anyone's walking the streets, your fault that they die. If you would bring anyone else in here, your fault they will die. Your family can be here and live. So she lets them down the window. And as they're climbing down the rope, she looks up to heaven and says, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World, this is the rope that all the lovers have been climbing up to sin with me. And now I'm doing tshuva. I want to convert. I want to become a pious Jew. Forgive me for what I've done wrong. Look at how I risked my life to help the Jews. And let this act that I'm helping the Jewish people conquer the land of Israel, let it be an atonement for all the things I did wrong until now with this rope. I want to do tshuva. And she not only does tshuva, after we conquer the land of Israel, Yeshua himself marries her. She becomes the wife of Yeshua bin Nun. She is a pious convert, Rachav. Rabbi Akiva is a descendant of Rachav. So Rachav really goes high up there with the righteous converts of Jewish history. They come back to Yeshua. This has been a secret mission. The people don't even know they've been sent. They come back to Yeshua and they say, we won. Hashem gave you the land of Israel. Everyone's scared of us. We won. So Yeshua gets up early in the morning and they start traveling. And they're taking with them the man. The man stopped falling the day Moshe Rabbeinu died. But Hashem made a miracle that the man would last until we entered the land of Israel, until Pesach. So if Moshe Rabbeinu dies the 7th of Adar, it's going to last us the remaining 22 days of Adar and another 15 days in Nisan until we bring the Omer sacrifice and we start eating from the fruit of the land of Israel. So we're going to have this food for another 37 days. Okay, so they're entering the land of Israel. And Hashem tells Yeshua, now people will start respecting you. Because until now people were saying, Moshe's like the sun, Yeshua's like the moon. Yeshua's just a reflection of Moshe. But now I'm going to do a miracle that everyone will respect you for. So Yeshua tells the nation, purify yourself, sanctify yourself. Hashem's going to do miracles among you tomorrow. And he tells the Kohanim, I want you to carry the ark now. So they take the Aron, they take in front of the Jewish people. And they come to the Jordan. And the Kohanim walk into the Jordan. And the Jordan splits. It doesn't split the way the Yam Suf split, but rather far out to their right, the waters stop and they start building up. It's like a dam was put in front of them. To their left, the waters spill down, and the Jewish people walk in dry land. So the Kohanim just stepped foot into the waters, and the waters have this miraculous split. The Jewish people are about to enter, and Yehoshua tells them, you should know this is a sign. The Aron is going to conquer the land of Israel before you. Hashem is leading you. You'll see this miracle and it will empower you. It will give you the confidence that you will conquer all this land. Hashem is leading the way. So the Jewish people enter the Yarden. When they enter the Yarden, Yeshua stops them. They're standing there and the waters to their right are building up and building up. And Yeshua starts giving them a speech. You're entering the land of Israel on condition. You're going to keep the Torah. You're going to keep the mitzvos. You're going to live up to your responsibilities. They look to their right. There's this huge tsunami building up. Nations from afar could see this huge tidal wave just building up and up and up. And the waters keep flowing and building up. And they're standing there. Yeshua says, you all agree? Yes, we all agree. Yeshua takes 12 stones and he establishes them as a sign that this is the place the 12 tribes crossed. He takes another 12 stones, which they will take with them, as we will see later on in the story. The Jewish people come into the land of Israel. They have 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. The Jewish people step out of the Jordan. The Kohanim are still on the other side of the Jordan. And the Kohanim take a step back, and the Jordan starts flowing naturally. All the water oozes down. So the Kohanim are outside Israel, and the people are in. The Aron starts levitating. The Kohanim have, they're holding it here. Our tradition is that the Aron levitated, went across the Jordan, and landed with the Kohanim. That's our tradition. It doesn't say it exactly in the Pasuk. You can infer it from the Pasuk. When the Jewish people were standing in the Jordan, Yeshua told them, we're going to take 12 stones from here, so that when your children ask you in future times, what are these huge stones? You're going to tell them, God split the Jordan for the ark. When we came into Israel, it wasn't a natural ascent. It was a miraculous ascent into Israel. So we have the 12 stones established in the Jordan and another 12 stones that were taken with them. Remember the 2.5 tribes, Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. You have 40,000 soldiers. They're keeping their promise. They're coming into Israel with them. And now the Jewish people look at Yeshua and they say, okay, he's great. He's not just a reflection of Moshe. So it's the 10th of the month of Nisan. We traveled to a place called Gilgal, which is right here on your maps. Okay, we were here at Shittim. We crossed the Jordan to Gilgal. We come to Gilgal, and we are at our most vulnerable time. The people of Israel know that we have entered the land. If there's any time that we should be suspect, that we're going to be attacked, now's the time. You just entered. So if there's any time that it makes sense to attack, now's the time. And Hashem tells Yeshua, I want you to prepare swords, prepare yourselves knives, you're going to circumcise everyone. But now? This is the time to have all your men weakened by a circumcision? Well, Pesach's coming, right? Pesach's coming, you have to eat the Paschal offering. Paschal offering, aren't we at war? No, Hashem says, don't worry about it. Okay? This is a tremendous act of dedication for the people to do. They're walking into the land of Israel and they're all circumcising. Extraordinary. So now they're going to spend a period of time there recuperating. So you have 2 million people recovering, eating their Paschal offering. Now finally they've circumcised and they have a mound of all the foreskins. It's called Givat Aralot, the mound of foreskins. And all the 40 years in the desert, the people were scared because there was this mist all around them. There were the Anon HaKavod. There wasn't any airflow in the Jewish camp. So they were scared things might be moldy, that to have a circumcision might be very dangerous. So they didn't circumcise the 40 years in the desert. Now they enter the land of Israel. They're going to circumcise. Okay, so they camp there. They bring the Paschal offering. And the next morning they start eating from the fruit of the land. The man in their vessels ends. We said they had it until that morning when they could eat from the fruit of the land. Now it's over. So they're about to attack Yericho. And Yeshua goes out at night and he sees a man and his sword is drawn. So Yeshua, being the brave warrior that he is, approaches him. And he asks him, are you one of ours or are you an enemy? And the man is about to answer him. The man is huge and fearsome. And he's going to say something Yeshua isn't expecting. This is where we will pick up Ezrat Hashem next week.